Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday the 13th, everybody. It is Friday the 13th. Okay, it's the lucky Friday the 13th because we have a great show for you here on Education Talk Radio. You're lucky enough to going to be able to hear, I'm sucking on a Werther's candy. That's what it's causing the coughing here. Starley Rhodes, the Vice President of Communications and Marketing at the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools. We're going to be talking about everything about charter schools today. They are the leading advocacy group for charter schools, okay? And Starley, you know, who better than the Vice President of Communications to communicate about charter schools? And they have a big conference coming up, and we're going to in Las Vegas at the end of the month, and we're going to give you all kinds of information on that. So, Starley, hold tight for just a second. Everybody knows we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We're going to tweet it out at EduTalk Radio with a direct link before, we already did, and after every show. So please follow us. If you're on Twitter, we'd love to follow you in return. Today's show is brought to you by a very good friend of charter schools, SchoolReach. SchoolReach is a one-to-many parent communication tool that helps schools do more with less. They serve hundreds of charter schools throughout the country, and with a 98% customer satisfaction rate, it's no wonder why. Charter schools trust SchoolReach with their most important messages every single day. They use it for improving parent involvement, improving attendance, sending testing reminders. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Enhancing emergency preparedness, fundraising, organizing volunteers, going green and reducing paper usage, which I love. There are just so many ways that charter schools can save money and time using SchoolReach. And if you're going to the National Charter Show in Vegas at the end of this month, they're at booth 1421, SchoolReach. So stop by, tell them Larry from EduTalk Radio said hello, and they will give you a pen. Okay, so you'll have a nice SchoolReach pen. All right, so check it all out. It's bought booth 1421 at the Charter School Show, SchoolReach, SchoolReach.com. They tweet at SchoolReach, and they also tweet at Cyberbully Hotline, one of their other tools. So check it all out. And on that note, thank you, SchoolReach. Thank you, AJ. Let me come over to Starley. Hi, Starley. How you doing today?
Hello. I'm great. How are you? Nice to talk to you, Larry.
Well, it's a pleasure. Is it raining down there? It's pouring up here in Maine.
It actually just stopped raining this morning for the first time in 4 days. So
wow.
We are having a little bit of sunshine, right, which is nice.
The sunshine in Washington, it is always nice because it seems to maybe make them a little less grouchy down there.
Well,
in Congress.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Maybe not. Okay, Vice President of Communications, National Alliance for Public Charter Schools. You tweet at Charter Alliance. It's publiccharters.org. Charters are a hot thing. I love the whole idea of them. People can go over to publiccharters.org and learn all about them. Before we get into the details of charter schools, I just want to talk about the conference. Good. You want to just talk about that? It's coming up, I think, June 29th in Las Vegas?
That's right. So just a couple of weeks, 2 weeks away, the conference actually kicks off on Monday morning, June 30th, and goes through noon on Wednesday, July 2nd. We have a welcome reception on Sunday night, so that's the first time that everybody will get together, but the content actually starts on the 30th. So the conference is really amazing. It's the 14th year that we will be doing the National Charter Schools Conference. About 4,000 charter school professionals come to the conference every year, mostly teachers, but lots of administrators and school leaders as well. We have 2 days of programming, 2.5 days, I guess, of programming where we bring people together in the mornings for a general session where they hear from really inspirational and thought-provoking speakers like Saul Kahn and Matthew Peterson from Mind Research and a number of other...
Mind Research is very good friends of mine, mindresearch.net. Good, great company, okay?
Really interesting stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, and he's been on the show. Matt's been on the show. So
Matt is actually
going to
be speaking from our main stage on Wednesday, July 2nd, obviously you know and your listeners will know then about the interesting stuff that they're doing and how they're trying to make it easier for children with learning disabilities to excel in school. So basically we bring people together to hear from inspirational speakers, people that will get them pumped up for the school year ahead. And then in between those general sessions, we have about 120 breakout sessions that people can attend. And it's everything from how to make their lesson plans and their teaching content more rigorous to meet Common mm-hmm. Core standards, how mm-hmm. to, for school leaders, how to recruit the very best talent, for mm-hmm. charter school board members, talking to them about what their role is and how they can make sure that their charter schools are doing the very best job that they can and meeting their charter standards. So we have lots and lots of content, a little bit of everything, something for everyone for sure, and not just for charter school teachers and professionals as well, but for professionals from other schools, whether that's a traditional district school or a private or parochial school, content that's applicable across the board.
And exhibitors that are applicable across the board. I don't know. I know School Reach is going to be there. What did I say, booth 1421. I assume Mind Research will be there, too, since Matt's speaking. I don't know if they are, but my point of that is, okay, all the things that apply to charter schools in terms of curriculum and all that sort of thing also apply to schools, period.
Oh,
okay?
Absolutely,
because charter
yeah.
schools are
right.
public
charter
schools.
Schools
so,
right. They, yeah, they, exactly. They are public schools. They face the same challenges that regular mm-hmm. public schools face. And, yes, our exhibit hall is huge and amazing, where hundreds of exhibitors are there to offer solutions to any of the challenges that teachers or school leaders or administrators are facing, whether that's software solutions to help track teacher performance and student performance or testing
Great.
Management, all sorts of stuff.
I mean, I can think of a million companies that should be there. And I have to say something because they are good friends of mine. Mind Research, okay, is neuroscience-based mathematics education, okay? It is language neutral, all right? And you talk about, Matt's a neuroscientist, okay? And you talk about, he knows how the brain learns. His company knows how the brain learns, all right? And this is the kind of thing that's so innovative. It's used across the country, and I just can't recommend a company more than that. They just blew me away, okay, with their stuff at NCTM, and I've known them for years. So I can't say enough about Mind Research. I just had to go into that, okay? Will you forgive
problem.
Me that
yeah,
one,
we're
Starling?
Really, yes, absolutely. We're really excited to have him with us this year, and we think that he's going to be really inspirational and for a lot of our teachers when they get to hear what he's doing, and we're excited to have him.
And let me ask you this. Public charters are public schools. What do you hear from, because I'm thinking, teaching in general, what do you hear from your teachers in charter schools about their experience? I have a feeling it's going to be positive. I don't want to give you a leading question, but is it a positive? For the most part, the teacher's feedback that you get, is it positive that charter school is working for them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we can look at is just look at the numbers of, full-time teachers that charters are hiring. And, over the last handful of years, charter schools have been able to bring on and hire a tremendous amount of permanent full-time teachers. And they have, the low teacher turnover in a lot of our charter schools. We have every all of the anecdotal feedback that we have is that teachers in charter schools are really satisfied. And one of the main reasons for that is because there is in a lot of charter schools, I know you know this and I know a lot of your listeners will know this, there's a culture of a little bit more discipline, right, in the schools. The children are instructed to be a little bit quieter in the hallways. They follow sort of stricter codes of conduct and behavior standards. And the reason that that's so beneficial for teachers is because they don't have to spend so much time trying to get children to quiet down or settle down in their classroom and focus on learning. They get to spend all of their time on instruction and far less time on discipline and classroom management. So that's a huge value to teachers, and teachers love that about charter schools, that they get to come in to a classroom where the children know the behavior standards and they're ready to learn.
And, actually, I don't know the answer to this next question I'm going to ask you, and I'm curious about that. Because charters are public schools, if a student is accepted to a charter school, I'm thinking in a comparison to like parochial schools, can a charter school, if the kid is a bad kid, I'll just say it that way, can they just say, I'm sorry, you have to go back to the regular public school? Or once they're in the charter school, once that decision was made, is that it? Do you know how they
work? Yeah, I do. Charter schools have to follow the same process and protocol that traditional district schools or just public schools attached to a school district have to follow when they want to expel a student from their school. So all of those rules and requirements are set
out. But they can expel them back into the public school. Can they? My question is not that they're being expelled from the system, but they're being expelled from the charter. I'm just using that. Okay. Would the kid just automatically revert back to a regular public school?
Well, not necessarily. It kind of depends on what happens with the child. I mean, obviously the parents are involved in that decision as well, right? If a child, decides that a charter school or a family decides the charter school is not going to work for their student, then it's sort of up to them to figure out where their student is going to go
mm-hmm.
next.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of criticism and questions about whether or not charter schools are able to achieve their high results and their high academic achievement because they send students who are challenging or are troublemakers in the classroom because they send them back to the district schools. There's been a lot of research into that question because it's been a real significant criticism that charter schools have faced. And there is no evidence that charter schools either counsel out troubled children or make it harder for kids who can't meet the behavior standards to stay mm-hmm. in a charter school. No evidence of that at all. So there's, sort of inter-school transfer rates and expulsion rates are on par with the rest of the public school system. So, that isn't a phenomenon that is more prevalent in charter schools at all.
Cool, and that's good to know. And I was just curious about that. I never thought about that. And when you were talking about how the kids are a little more disciplined, a little more, and I'll say that to say it that way, in a charter school. And one of the reason I wrote down as you were talking, charter school attendance is actually a privilege. Okay. Public school attendance is a right, but charter school attendance, I believe, is a privilege because you're selected to go into a charter school, right? Help me out if I'm wrong.
I mean, I guess we would say that charter school attendance is also a right because charter schools are public schools.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Charter schools have to follow the same charter schools cannot selectively admit children. They can't admit children based on previous academic success or any other standard. They have to accept children kind of on a first-come, first-served basis.
Cool.
And if there are more children who want to come to a charter school than there are seats available, the school has to hold a random or a blind lottery so that every child who wants to attend has an equal shot of being chosen.
I remember that from Waiting for Superman. I remember that at the end of the movie. Yeah, that's
right.
Okay.
So
that's
a significant part of the charter school experience for many people. So right now there are 2.5 million students in charter schools across the country, but there are 1 million student names on waiting lists across the country as well. So there are hundreds of thousands of children and families who are waiting to get into charter schools. We just don't have enough seats to accommodate everybody who wants to come. So one of the interesting things just on that lottery point is that so right now states and schools are required to have blind lotteries. Starting with the next school year, the Federal Department of Education loosened up their rules a little bit and said that if a charter school wants to give children who come from a disadvantaged background, whether that's a low-income background or a English language learner student or a minority child or a student who's homeless or in foster care, in some way educationally disadvantaged, that they will now be allowed to give them a little boost in the lottery so that they have a little bit of an extra shot of being selected mm-hmm. to attend a charter school. So that will be interesting to watch over the next couple of years to see how many schools decide to use weighted lotteries to preference children who come from disadvantaged backgrounds. Right now what we know is that in most states, and so when you look at the national picture, the charter schools enroll a higher percentage of children from low-income families than traditional district schools. They enroll a higher percentage of children from racial minority backgrounds than district schools do. So they're already taking children who tend to have a little bit of a harder time or mm-hmm. lower academic results in traditional schools, bringing them into charters and boosting their performance. So we know that that's already happening. And it'll be interesting to see what happens as they have more flexibility to even give those children a greater opportunity to attend charters.
It's really great, and it all bespeaks that big thing about educational equity. Okay, mm-hmm. you mentioned, kids of lower income or perhaps, African-American kids, Latino kids, but there's so much potential among those kids, and I think the charter schools bring that out. I think the lucky kids who get to go to a charter school, all of a sudden they're in an environment where their potential, okay, is really just fulfilled to the nth degree. That's the way I see it.
That's the way we see it too, and that is one reason, it's my favorite reason, that I get to come to work here every day, because I get to talk about the amazing stories that we see all across the country of children who come from really tough families and really tough neighborhoods where their shot at the American dream has been challenged from the day that they were born, and they come
right.
into a charter school, and that charter school says, kid, we are going to do whatever it takes to get you out of high school and into college and ready for life. And that's an amazing thing to be able to talk about. And, we wish that every public school in America had the same flexibility and freedom that charter schools do whatever it takes for every individual child to make them ready for life. But right now, charter schools are the schools that have been given the flexibility to do what they need to do, and it's our job to make sure that we're protecting that flexibility and to make sure that we're expanding that as much as we can and telling the positive stories. So this is a great thing. So this month, you will love this. This month, we are doing a feature that we're doing every day on our website and on social media that we're calling 30 Days of Grad. And people can come onto our website, it's publiccharters.org/30daysofgrad, and look at or read a short story or watch a video or read a news article about a kid or a school that has done something really amazing to get a kid graduated from high school and on to college or ready for life. Yesterday we had an incredible story that we featured about a child who with autism who was nonverbal, could not communicate at all, entered a charter school, and by the end of his high school experience at that charter school, not only was he speaking, he was the valedictorian of his class that gave the commencement address. That's amazing turnaround that charter schools can do. And we love telling the stories, and we're so excited about it, and we're so proud of all the work that our terrific charter schools and our charter school teachers are doing every day.
I would agree with you. Give me that the website, publiccharters.org/, and then it's 30 days. What's the rest of it, 30 days?
30 days of grad.
I put two. That's why it wasn't there.
30 days of grad. And if you look on Twitter and you just search for the hashtag 30 Days of Grad, you'll see all of the tweets that we've been doing about these great stories and other schools and other stories that we're hearing that people are adding on to our list that we're promoting of the 30 Days of Grad. And if any of your listeners have stories or schools that they know of that we should be highlighting, we'd love to hear about that. They can post a story on Facebook or message us on Facebook, and we'll get in touch so that we can highlight their story as well.
And actually, I did /30 days of grad. I should have just Googled 30 days of grad. It probably would have popped right up. Would I be correct?
It It does. Yeah. Yes, it pops right up at the
top.
So
I really went the long way on that one, but it's at publiccharters.org, /30days of grad, if you want to come over there. And it's cute. I didn't have a chance to look at it before. I'm looking at it now. Got some great pictures up there about success and all that sort of thing. So I think it's just wonderful. You know, what's the graduation rate in a charter school? Just across the board, the generic number.
You know what? Let me look at that and tell you. You know, we know nationally that graduation rates are actually creeping up across the country, which is good. So,
which is good.
Yeah, nationally.
I didn't mean to catch you off guard.
No, that's a good question. Nationally, it's about 70%. And you know, I'm looking at my little numbers cheat sheet. I don't think we have a charter school graduation rate that I can give you that's current. But I will tell you that. There's been a lot of research into charter school graduation rates, and unfortunately, I'm sorry, I don't have the number.
It's okay.
But what
it's okay.
we do know is that
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I was just curious. I was leading to something else, but that's cool. No problem.
No, well, here's one thing that we do know, that charter school students are actually more likely to graduate from high school than students who attend district schools. So if the typical district school rate is 70%, then I would expect that the charter school rate would be higher than that. Charter school children are also more likely to go on to college, more likely to stay in college and graduate. So it's a really interesting time to be working in charter school policy. We're seeing a lot of really incredible results from these schools.
And again, I don't want to catch you off guard, so if you don't have the number, don't worry about it. But I'm going to assume, and I think I'm right here, that the dropout rate, if whatever that number is, from charters is a heck of a lot lower than from public high schools.
Yeah, it is. We would I can actually try and get that number for you too before we wrap up the show. But
it is
lower.
It would seem to me that it would have to be because there's more personalized education. The kids are more exciting, more enthused. The parents are more engaged, et cetera. It just seems to me that because of the way they're set up, it's just going to show a major change. And I think this is key stuff. And I want to remind everybody, charter schools are public schools. Charter schools are public schools, period, end of discussion. Yeah.
Right, absolutely. Charter schools have to follow the same accountability requirements that district schools have to follow. They have to follow all of the same federal rules and regulations. They have to be audited and accountable for their finances, just like district schools. They're approved by government-sponsored boards, just like a regular school is approved by a school board. So the idea, I think a lot of times people get a little bit confused because charter schools are run by their own independent board, and that makes it feel like it's not analogous to being run by a school board, but it is kind of the
same.
You know, we have independent boards who are looking at what is happening in those schools and making determinations about curriculum and, you know, how you compensate teachers and all of the same kinds of things that school boards are looking at. Ours are just done on a one-on-one basis for each school.
And, you know, I must ask, I'll just use a typical state. If a state is moving next year to Common Core, okay, then the charter, even though they're public charter schools, they're public schools, but they're independent, run by an independent board, so to speak, okay, will they still be using Common Core? And I'm asking these questions because I actually don't know the answers. I'm curious.
Yeah. So it will vary by state, but in most states that we have seen, if the state has adopted the Common Core standards, they are also requiring charter schools to meet the Common Core standards.
Cool.
So
cool.
Some states have given charter schools a little bit of flexibility in whether or not they're going to have to meet, teach to the Common Core standards. But by and large, across the board, we're seeing most states are requiring charter schools to meet the Common Core standards as well. So, you know, there's, you know, the big difference between charter schools and district schools is that the school has the ability to make decisions at the school level. They don't have to go to the school board for permission to, if they say, you know, our kids are just not this, this math book that we're using is just not working for our kids. We need to find a new math a new math book. They have the flexibility to do that. They can go get a new math book without having to jump through a bunch of hoops. Or if they say, you know what, we need to get a new after-school program to really work on, you know, reading tutoring, they can do that. They can make the decision right there at the school about how they're going to accommodate the needs of their students without having to go through a lot of extra bureaucracy. And, you know, it's working. We're seeing it work across the country. Charter school kids, you know, in all of the latest research, they're doing better in school than their peers, children from low-income families, minority backgrounds, and English language learners, and children with special needs, all doing better in charter schools than in district schools. And it's because charters have the ability to do that really individualized instruction and attention that children need.
Yeah. Exactly. I agree with you. I must ask you this. I cut this out of the paper actually on May 30th from Portland, Maine, but it's a reprint from the Washington Post, okay? And I'm going to just read you the headline. In New Orleans, charter schools rule. When school starts in the fall, an entire school district will be composed of independently run charter schools. In other words, much like the healthcare system in England after World War II was gone, so they rebuilt it into the socialized thing they have now, okay? When Katrina hit New Orleans, everything got washed away, literally, okay? And they reinvented as charter schools. Are you guys working with New Orleans on this?
Sure, you bet. So we have, there's an organization in Louisiana, the Louisiana Charter Schools Association, and then an organization.
Name for it.
And then also a New Orleans-specific organization called New Schools for New Orleans that we work with very closely. We are really excited to see what happens over the next couple of years in New Orleans.
Ah, it's
this is
great.
A great time, obviously,
great.
For them. The initial results coming out of charter schools in New Orleans are very, very encouraging. Children in New Orleans in charter schools are outperforming the statewide average on reading and math. They're doing a terrific job. They've taken, you know, what was not, no question, one of the worst performing school districts in the country
and turned
it into a school district or a system of schools where every child has access to excellent teachers, will be held to high expectations, and the potential for their life will be exponentially greater because they're going to be in schools that have the flexibility to meet their needs. So we're really excited to watch what happens over the next couple of years. Obviously, we've never seen this before in this country, but I think if things go well in New Orleans in these first couple of years, we're going to see a lot more school districts do what they're doing.
It's just incredible. Just so you know this, just before the storm, the elected Orleans Parish School District was bankrupt, couldn't account for about $71 million in federal money. There were just a few charter schools, but after the storm, everything was changed, okay? And says Superintendent Dohart, we had a clear plan in place. We're going to create a new legacy, a new memory. We don't have to hold on to some of the things in the past that didn't work, and I congratulate them. I really do. It's just incredible.
We're very excited for them.
Yeah, and I wish them the very best of luck with that, as I'm sure you do, okay? Now,
absolutely, yes, absolutely.
And you're going to work with them. Starley Rhodes, our guest, is the Vice President of Communications and Marketing at the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools. That's at publiccharters.org. Starley, just tell me about what the Alliance does. Just let's pinpoint that for a second.
Sure. So the Alliance, we focus on a couple of different things. First of all, at the federal level, there's a really small little pot of money that's available for charter schools, startup, and expansion. And what makes this pot of money special is that it's the only money that charter schools have before they open their doors. Because charter schools aren't attached to a district, they can only get funding when a child actually shows up and the state or school district is then required to, you know, fund their students on an annual basis. But until they open their doors, they don't have access to any state money. So the federal money that's available is all that they have access to, and it's about 1% of all education money being spent at the federal level on K through 12 schools, even though charter schools educate about 6% of all students.
Mm-hmm.
So our job is to protect that little pot of money and make sure that it doesn't go away and try and push as hard as we can to make it grow so that more charter schools can open. As I mentioned earlier, there's about just over a million names on charter school waiting lists across the country, and the only way we're ever going to make a dent in that is if we are able to open more charter schools. So this pot of money is really critical. So that's what we do at the federal level, and then we make sure that rules and regulations coming out of federal departments take into consideration the flexibility and the freedom that charter schools have been given to be innovative for their students and to make sure that they don't accidentally pass a law or a regulation that would impact charter school flexibility. The second thing we do is in states where charter schools don't exist yet, where they don't have a charter school law, we go into the state, work with local partners on the ground to try to pass a charter school law to make sure that students everywhere all across the country have access to great public school options like charter schools. So this year we've been working in Kentucky and Alabama. A couple years ago we were up in your state. We were in, did you say you were in Maine?
I am in Maine, glorious Maine.
Yeah, so we were in Maine a couple of years ago helping to pass their law there.
Yep.
We helped in Washington State.
Yeah,
so that's another really critical piece of the puzzle that we do is making sure that all states are moving towards passing very strong, good charter school laws. And then in states where they already have charter school laws, but maybe the law is not very good, maybe it doesn't require as much accountability as we think charter schools should have, we go in and try to strengthen those laws and make sure that lawmakers are thinking about all of the things that they need to be thinking about to make sure that charter schools meet their end of the bargain that they're given. They're given flexibility and freedom in exchange for raising student achievement, and we want to make sure that we meet our end of the bargain, and part of that is making sure policy in the states is very strong to keep charter schools accountable for what they're supposed to do. And then, of course, my favorite thing is what I get to do with my team every day, and that's tell the great, fantastic stories about charter school success across the country. So we serve as the voice of the charter school movement across the country. We do lots of media interviews like this, and we have our president and CEO, Nina Reese, on TV quite a bit talking about charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
We go to lots of other conferences and meetings and panel discussions to talk about charter schools and how they're impacting the public school system. And then we just get to talk about great kids and great schools and great teachers and put their great cute pictures up on the web and talk about how we've had a tremendous role in changing kids' lives. So that is, to me, the very best thing that we get to do all day.
And you know, we talk about all these other things, but the bottom line is the kids, you're changing their lives. That's what this is all about.
That's right.
It's not about the buildings, not about the charters. It's about the kids learning.
Right. This is not, and we talk about that a lot, that this is not, even though we're all adults and we talk to adults and all of the decisions are made by adults, this is totally about children. It's about making sure that children have a shot at life and that they're prepared and ready for whatever happens to them when they get out of high school. So that that is something that we try to do as much as we can, is make sure that we're focused on kids and talking about kids and the great results that we're having for kids. So that's the fun part.
And it is the fun part. And let me ask you this. You know, I think charter schools are obviously pretty much settling in, but is there still opposition? And where's that opposition comes from? At the beginning, you know, it's new, it's different, with that kind of thing. But things settled down after a while. Is there still that opposition, or is it commonplace now? And, let's go with it.
Yeah. So that's a really good question. Definitely, so charter schools are in place in 42 states across the country and here in D.C. And then, a good handful of communities, a quarter or more of all students are attending charter schools. So they're definitely here to stay.
Wow. Oh, they are here to stay. They are here to stay.
Oh,
I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's no question about that. So here in D.C., almost 50% of students attend charter schools. Detroit, 50%. New Orleans, 100%.
Yeah.
So we're creeping up, you know, in Phoenix and, you know, some other communities were above 25%. So it's, you know, more and more and more growth in the charter school community. And when you're talking about that number of children, you know, like in Arizona, for example, 25% of all of their school children in the entire state are in charter schools. So when you are looking at that kind of sort of critical mass, there's no way that you would be able to shut down 1,000 schools, right? You can't do that,
well,
right?
It would be absurd. I agree.
Right. So charter schools are here to stay for sure. And public support for charter schools is really strong, and it's bipartisan. 70% of Americans in a handful of recent polls say that they support charter schools and they want more charter schools in their community. So we definitely have the public on our side. Policymakers in a bipartisan way support charter schools. Just last month, there was a vote in the United States Congress on reauthorizing that little pot of money that I talked about, the federal charter schools program. And it was, 360-some votes yes to 40 no's. So it was totally bipartisan, led by George Miller, who is a liberal Democrat from California, and a conservative Republican from Minnesota. So, you know, it's definitely an across-the-board thing. That said, of course, there's still opposition. We saw, in two states this year, we saw some really significant pushback against charters. One, of course, was in New York City. Anybody who has, is following charter school news would have seen probably what was going on there. The new mayor, Bill de Blasio, said that he was not going to allow any new charter schools to open in New York City. He was not going to allow them to use public school buildings. He took their building funds away from them. So not only was he not going to allow them to use public school buildings, he took all their building money away as well. So they didn't even have money to go get their own private facilities. So he and then he actually made the decision to kick some existing charter schools out of their school buildings that they were using. So that created a huge firestorm. He backed away significantly and completely in pretty short order after he saw the political pushback that he got from across the aisle. Parents were outraged.
Did New York City go to charter schools? Do you know offhand?
It's about 12% in New York City.
Okay.
But they do. There are so many children in New York City, so it's a fairly low percentage. But it's a lot of kids, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we see it every now and then. It comes up. Anti-charter sentiment. I think that is rare. It's very rare, and it's becoming more and more rare because, we have results that people can't argue with. And when you're really trying to do what's right for children, it's hard to be on the other side.
Well, I agree with you. And you know, education can get complacent. And it has gotten complacent for a long, long time. And the rise of charter schools, A, is a good thing, but B, it shakes up the system, and it's working. Okay, that's what this needs. We need smart people to do these kind of things, and that's why I think charter schools are really cool. I think they're really a good thing.
Yeah, one of the real hallmarks of charter schools is being able to try new things and figure out what works. And then share that with other schools, including district schools.
And move quickly, okay?
Right.
You remember, the
dinosaurs
might have been big, but they couldn't adapt. They were too big. It was the mosquitoes who won. The mosquitoes won. The little tiny mammals, they won, okay? And then dinosaurs became birds, and a couple of dinosaurs were just feeding on my bird feeder, as a matter of fact, okay? Mm. So it's the fact that there's flexibility in there. Okay.
And being able to be nimble. Yeah. And respond to new challenges that come up in a way that can still keep academic results high. You know, that's a big part of what charter schools are here to do, is to show the traditional district schools, here's a way forward. Here's how you can handle this challenge. Here's what we've been able to put in place to fix this problem. And we're starting to see more and more across the country district superintendents actually embracing charter schools and really bringing in a lot of, the key elements from a charter school education into the district system to try to help replicate some of their results on a bigger scale. And that's wonderful and exactly what we should be doing. So we're seeing that in places like Denver and Houston and in Newark, and a bunch of communities are really starting to say, okay, let's stop thinking of this as competition and start thinking of this as how do we make sure every kid in our community goes to a great public school. And that's
right, and
exactly where we want to be.
What you just said is the thing, we don't forget it, but sometimes it has to be stated. Okay, it's about the kids. It's about the kids.
Right.
If the kids learn, if X amount of kids learn better at a charter school, doesn't mean all of them will, but if X amount do, then let's do that. Let's do that.
Right.
Okay, that's
right.
What
and
I like about what you're doing.
More,
we got to give more
kids the opportunity.
Yeah, we should. And I'm sorry, we got to go. I'm running out of time. This was wonderful. You'll come back on with the group, right?
Anytime.
I loved it. It was great having you here. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of a busy day. You're going to have a great conference. I'll remind everybody before we leave. Thank you, Starley Rhodes, VP Communications for the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools. Thanks, Starley. Have a great night. Hope
Thanks
a sunny
so much.
Weekend. You're welcome.
Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Starley, that pretty name, S-T-A-R-L-E-E. Starley Rhodes, Vice President of Communications, National Alliance for Public Charter Schools. They tweet at Charter Alliance, their website. Go over there, check it out, and check out 30 days. I lost it again. Wait a minute. I put 30 days of grad. Just go slash 30 days of grad. And also check out /conference over at publiccharters.org. And they're having a wonderful conference in Vegas. My good sponsor today, School Reach, is going to be there. They're going to be at booth 1421. Go over there and say hello at the National Charter Show. School Reach is a one-to-many parent communication tool. Helps schools do more with less. They serve hundreds of charter schools throughout the country, and they have a 98% customer satisfaction rate. Okay, here's some of the things that you can use School Reach for. And this is so key. We did a show yesterday with NSPRA, National School Public Relations Association. Okay, improving parent involvement, communications, improving attendance, communications, sending testing reminders, communications, enhancing emergency preparedness, communications, fundraising, communications, organizing volunteers, and communications, going green and reducing paper usage via SchoolReach, schoolreach.com. And I'll also say they have a cyberbully hotline product, too, that is absolutely excellent. SchoolReach.com, they tweet at SchoolReach at booth 1421 at the National Charter Show in Vegas coming up. Sponsored by our guest today, the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools. Thanks, Starley. That was great. Thank you, School Reach. We're going to archive the show over at education-talkradio.org. We're going to tweet it out. Please follow us if you're involved in education over at EduTalk Radio. My name is Larry Jacobs. It's Friday the 13th, but it's going to be a lucky one. So you have a great day. Have a great weekend.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.